In Job chapter number 12, and I want to take a text from that particular chapter, and let's look together at verse number 11. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat?" I want to preach for a little while on this subject, a taste for truth. A taste for truth. Notice, if you will, the first part of verse number 11. "Doth not the ear try words?" Elihu said, Job chapter number 34 and verse number 3, "For the ear trieth words, as the mouth tasteth meat." In Job chapter number 6 and verse number 30, Job asked this question, "Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things?" Once again, the text, "Doth not the ear try words?" A taste for truth. Sometimes you may hear about someone that tried something, and maybe you've experienced this, where you tried something at one point in your life and you really did not care for it at first. Then after a while, you acquired a taste for the food. And sometimes truth may be very bitter and very strong at first. Then you may come to the point where you actually enjoy a truth that once you found to be somewhat undesirable. Now, we are to have a taste for truth. It is to be something that we enjoy, something that we want to partake of, the truth. And so I want to deal some with this idea of a taste for truth. Now, notice, if you will, the Bible tells us, beginning in verse number 12, "With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding." There are some advantages to old age. The next verse says this, "With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding." There is some advantage to old age, and sometimes it might be someone that is older can look back down the road and have some wisdom and some understanding, give some good counsel, have some strength of reasoning. Of course, you may have heard it said, there's no fool like an old fool. Just because a person is old does not mean the person is wise. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 16 and verse number 31, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if," and that's a very important word in that verse, "if it be found in the way of righteousness." Now, the Bible, when it uses that word hoary, you might think about white or whitish. And so you might think about a gray-haired person, one that has white or gray hair. Notice, if you will, the Scripture goes on to speak about the Lord. In fact, in verse number 13, "With him is wisdom and strength." But the next verse, verse 14, "Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening." In verse number 15, it begins, "Behold, he withholdeth the waters." In verse number 16, "With him is strength and wisdom," and so on. In verse number 17, "He leadeth." Verse 18, "He looseth." Verse 19, "He leadeth." And it goes on all the way through verse number 24, and verses 24 and 25 go together. And so we might think about in this portion of Scripture things that God does. Works that a sovereign God does in his dealings with men. And God certainly has the ability to overrule, to override. Men may have plans, grand plans, and yet God, of course, can foil their plans. On the other hand, God can take a man that is weak and make him strong. God can use a weak man mightily by his grace. Now, I want you to notice, though this connection here in verse number 13 and verse number 12, the Bible talked about the ancient and some things that the ancient had. Then it goes on very clearly speaking about God. Now, I want you to notice this. In Revelation chapter number 1, what color was the hair of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the glorified Son of God, as it is described in Revelation chapter number 1? His hair, of course, is white. Revelation chapter number 1, verse 14. "His head and his hairs were white, like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. In Daniel chapter number 7 and verse number 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. Now, there in the book of Job, the Bible talked about the ancient, and in the book of Proverbs, I read that verse, it deals with the hoary head. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, Jesus Christ, of course, is ancient. He is the Ancient of Days. Jesus Christ is described as one having a white hair. Jesus Christ is also always, always, without exception, always in the way of righteousness. And so we have this sovereign God that rules over men that is always right. He has wisdom, he has strength, he has understanding, he is always right in all of his ways. I want you to consider this thought. A taste for truth, first of all, acquiring truth. Acquiring truth, or actually acquiring a taste for truth. Now, as far as acquiring a taste for truth, actually, to have a taste for truth as you should, you need to be changed. A person needs to be changed. He is not going to just naturally have a desire for truth, for all truth. There might be some things that he accepts somewhat, but he's not going to have an all-out, wholehearted acceptance of truth except he has a change by the grace of God. John chapter number 14 and verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, shall teach us truth and shall bring to remembrance truth. In John chapter number 16 and verse number 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." And so, if you're saved by the grace of God, you have a Holy Spirit within you that is the Spirit of truth that can teach you truth, guide you into truth, and remind you of truth. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and beginning with verse number 12. Now, we have received of the Spirit of the, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things that of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. The only way a person is going to have that spiritual insight that he needs, the only way that a person is going to come to the truth, all the truth that he needs, is if a change has taken place in his life, he's been birthed into the family of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and is being led by the Spirit of God. That's the only way you're going to have a taste for truth as you should. Then secondly, by staying right with God. Of course, if a person is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and yet that person is not right with God, he has unconfessed sin in his life, he refuses to turn away from his rebelliousness, that even though he has the Holy Spirit dwelling within him, he will not be filled by the Holy Spirit of God. We might consider, for instance, if you take your arm, you clutch it tightly, you cut off the circulation, after a while you may find that there's a lack of feeling. And then after a while you may find that there's actually a lack of operation of the arm. And when a person is indwelt by the Holy Spirit but not filled by the Holy Spirit, there is a deadness, there is an insensitivity that comes into the person. He just does not have the discernment that he needs to have and the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit they ought to have. He doesn't have the ability to recognize truth as he should and as he would if he let the Lord lead him. And so those are two things that we need. If we're going to acquire a taste for truth, the indwelling Holy Spirit, being right with God, feeding upon the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verses 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Now, the Word of God is truth. It is the taste-testing standard. You want to know what truth tastes like? Taste the Word of God. With a heart that is right with God, taste the Word of God. The Word should be sweet to you. If the Word is not sweet to you, the problem is not with the Word of God, the problem is with you. And so, we are to be at a point where we've gotten saved by the grace of God, we're right with God, we're studying the Word of God, and as a result of studying the Word of God, we know what truth tastes like. Therefore, if we are served something that is other than truth, then we may recognize there's a difference between this and the truth that I found stated in the Word of God. This is the standard for truth. You want to know what truth tastes like? Taste the Word of God. Then, when you check other things, it can give you a standard to go by, the Word of God. Now, first, it might be said that you test your taster and see, is the Word of God sweet to you? Is it sweet to you? And then if it's sweet to you, then you might taste some other things and find out if they're sweet as well, if they have truth in them as well. And then let me say as well, beware of feeding on untruth. Now, if you start feeding on untruth, you may find that you don't have the discernment for truth that you ought to have. And you may find that your taste changes. Years ago, I might have been 18 or so at the time. I'd started working a job when I was still in high school. And I used to go to the boss's house and ride to work with him. And when I went over there, his wife had me a cup of coffee. But I went over there and drank coffee, and that coffee did not taste good. And so I think I might have tasted it one time, drank some coffee one time, didn't like it. And I'm not real picky on this kind of thing, but still I didn't like the coffee. Went back again and tasted that coffee again, and I did not like that coffee. Might have been the next morning I went and tried coffee again. Finally I said something to her about that coffee. And she talked like she hadn't changed anything. What I found out, apparently I'd been eating peppermint on the way to his house. Some peppermint candy. And the peppermint candy affected my taste. Now you might acquire a taste for truth, but then if you start feasting on falsehood, you might find that your taste is changed so that you just simply cannot taste truth like you used to. We are to be tasting the truth. We are to be feasting on the truth. And as a result of feasting on the truth, it can help us to have the taste for truth that we ought to have. Amen. The Bible talks about the children of Israel. God gave to them so mercifully and graciously gave to them angels' food. I know men sometimes may tag names on things. This is not a name that man gave. This is God's name. It's angel's food. It was bread from heaven. That angel's food, that bread from heaven came down and it tasted like wafers made with honey. But then the Bible says in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse number 8, "And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil." Do you think God changed His recipe? I don't think so. Now, what if you went to the store and you found that there were some boxes of wafers, and the advertiser said, "This tastes like it's made with honey." And then you had another box nearby and said, "This tastes like vegetable oil." Which do you think you'd be the most likely to buy? Now, what happened was they beat it, they ground it, they mixed it, they baked it, and when they got through with it, it tasted like fresh oil. We are to take the Word of God, read the Word of God, believe the Word of God. If you hear a message, let's say you might hear a message by a man from some particular verse in the Bible, and perhaps the man preaches the Word of God, and God so blesses, and it is so sweet to hear the truth. I remember years ago I heard a man preach on blessed are those that trust in the Lord. That may not be the exact words, but from Psalm chapter number 2, Psalm 2. It was a blessing to me. I don't think it was a very complicated message, rather simple message. And yet it was a blessing to me. Yet you may have another man take the same verse of Scripture that you got such a blessing from, and perhaps that man runs it through the mill. And maybe he's researched what he says he finds in the Greek, in the Hebrew, and he's read a variety of commentators on it. And so after he gets through with it, he presents it to the people, and it's no longer sweet, it's bland. Just believe it. Just eat it. Just take it like it is. If you do that, it'll be sweet to you. If your heart's right, it'll be sweet to you. And then you can have a standard to judge the teachings of others by. And then let me say as well, not only beware of feeding on untruth, but exercise your taste for truth. Hebrews chapter number 5, verses 13 and 14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even those, notice these words, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now you need to be especially skillful in the Word of God. If you are skillful in the Word of God, then as a result of that, and you're exercising that sense that you have, that taste that you have for truth, that can help you to discern between good and evil. But I think so many times people are not using that particular sense that they have, that ability that they have to taste truth. They haven't prepared themselves. They haven't acquired the taste for truth that they ought to have. And they're not tasting things for truth. I don't know how many of you got a dog, but so often you might think you got something the dog would like. You may give it to the dog, and the dog take it down in a gulp. Why feed it what it likes? Why not just feed it something? If it's just going to get full anyway, you're just going to gulp it down, not taste it anyway. And sometimes people, they don't really taste things, they just swallow it. Sometimes people may not taste a movement or taste something that somebody says, and they just may swallow it as if it's true. You can swallow the Word of God, but you don't just swallow anything. There is so much untruth out there. Then secondly, notice this. The properly handling the truth. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 22 and 23. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. My wife and I listened to a little bit of a message by a person, a preacher, and I got to thinking about some things about truth, and sitting in a deer stand, wrote a few things down. The Bible here in this scripture speaks about buying truth and not selling it. I want you to consider a few things that can be done when somebody's handling the truth. Number one, we might consider a person borrowing truth. Borrowing truth. Thank the Lord, there are so many that have taught their children properly, at least as many as there have been, that have taught their children truth. And especially years ago, I believe there are many more people, ratio-wise, percentage-wise, than there are today, that were teaching their children some very necessary truths. When a child is taught a truth, and it might be about a doctrine, it might be about some scripture, they may not be able to give a full explanation of it. It may be that they can't give a lot of proof text for a particular doctrine, but maybe they've been taught something and they believe it. And thank the Lord for every parent that is teaching a child truth, and the child, as it might be said, borrows that truth. Well, borrowing truth can be a good thing when you're younger, but you need to come to the point where you buy it yourself, where it becomes yours. Amen. Borrowing, there's a preacher I heard that years ago told some people in a school, if you don't have any convictions, borrow some of mine till you get some. And sometimes it can be good for people to at least borrow some truth. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, verse number 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, a child might know the scripture, might learn the scriptures from a child, not be able to explain it all, but at least learn the scriptures from a child that are able to make them wise unto salvation. That's good. It's good for a child to have received that kind of truth from parents, from preachers, different people that can help them to receive that kind of truth, to borrow the truth, as it might be said. Consider as well, do not neglect or reject the truth. Proverbs chapter number 8, wisdom is personified as a woman that stands in high places and in the places of paths, crying out to men. Wisdom cries out to men to come, to partake. Proverbs chapter number 8, verses 4 and 5, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. We are not to neglect or reject the truth, and so often people do that. When truth is available, they neglect it or they reject it. Instead, let us seek for truth. I just refer to the picture that is found in Proverbs 8. In Proverbs 9, wisdom is personified as a woman that has built a house, that has killed the beast, that has furnished her table, and she cries for the simple. She cries for the simple and those that lack understanding to come and to eat. Imagine somebody going to all the trouble to build a house for feasting in and to kill the beast and to spread the table, do everything that was needed so that a feast was spread and people were invited to it. And thank the Lord, God does provide some truths so freely. But I want you to notice something else. In Proverbs chapter number 2. In Proverbs chapter number 2, and beginning with verse number 3. The Bible says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now somebody might say, well, I thought in the one case that wisdom was pictured as a woman, she had done all this work and she's calling for people to come and partake of truth, partake of wisdom. And yet in this case, it seems that the idea is you need to search for it. You need to seek for it. like a person perhaps digging for hidden treasure, having to work for it to get the truth. Now, which is it? Well, actually, it is both. There are truths that God has given men so freely. For instance, the truth. And we may sometimes discount this, but the truth that there is a God. He didn't have to tell you that, but He did. God has put it in men that there is a God. The truth that there is a God. God has put the evidence about them that there is a God. It is so free for a person. Doesn't matter where they live. There's always that celestial circuit rider, the sun, that is always going across the sky and declaring, there is a God. There is a God. There are the leaves on the trees. There's the leaves upon the grass. And all of that declares, there is a God. So God has made that truth so clear and so free. Like a table spread. Just come, partake of it. It's there. On the other hand, many times you're going to need to search for truth. You're going to need to seek for truth. The Bible is written in such a way, I was talking about this some earlier, but the Bible is written in such a way, a person may think, okay, well, I want to know about salvation. And they may open it up looking for some kind of an index or some kind of a guide and find that, well, it didn't come with that. And so then they may start reading in Genesis and looking for salvation in Genesis and whatever. They may start reading and think, well, I thought I could just open it up and find about salvation. I'm not finding it here. And then, of course, many other truths. And I'm still digging. I'm still searching and I'm still finding truth. That's the way God wrote the Bible. He didn't write the Bible so you read it through once. I got it. He has given us such a rich book, such a deep book, that you can just keep digging and digging and digging and still finding jewels of truth of the Word of God. And so, thank the Lord that we have a book like that, that we can seek truth in, and we are to seek the truth. And then, buy the truth. Buy it. That's what was said in Proverbs, wasn't it? Buy the truth and sell it not. What's it going to cost you? You're going to have to give of your heart and your mind and your soul to actually buy the truth, where it's not just borrowed anymore. It is yours. You're going to have to give of yourself, body, heart, and soul, to actually own the truth as yours. And then don't sell the truth. What do you give up when you sell the truth? Well, you give of your heart and your body and your soul. You give up of yourself when you actually sell the truth. And you may sell the truth. You may trade the truth for little trinkets of this world. But you are to buy the truth and not sell the truth. And then share the truth. You and I think this is a problem. It's been a problem. I think we can see it in the first church at Jerusalem. And I think I can see it around me. I can see it in my own life. There can be a tendency to get truth, to enjoy the truth, and to, as it might be said, hoard the truth and hold the truth. There's a world out there that needs some truth. There's a world out there that needs some people. They've got a taste for truth. They can find it. They know it is truth. And they can give it to others. Now, of course, if they accept it, they'll have to buy it. I'm not saying they'll pay you anything for it, but they'll pay a price if they really make it their own. But this world needs truth. The world, so many in the world are trying to decimate the truth You and I ought to disseminate the truth. Put it out there. Spread it out there. And I think so often, we as believers, and I may see it sometimes where somebody's got a truth and they're not telling other people about it. And I'm not just talking about spreading the gospel. That's part of it. But there are also so many other truths that people need. There are so many truths that people that are saved need to have. And there are people that have those truths. I preached some time ago on this idea of lost doctrine. And a doctrine can be lost. Let's say if a church comes to a point where they are neglecting a doctrine or maybe rejecting a doctrine, and maybe after a while it gets to where it's not being taught as it was, then after a while there could be a whole generation that comes along that doesn't know that doctrine that is in the Word of God. It's not that God lost it, but we have lost it. We need to be sharing the truth. It was a blessing to me. Of course, the message that went out yesterday, and it's a blessing that we've got that opportunity to send those messages out over that radio broadcast. But after the message went out, then I noticed where somebody on the internet posted a little portion of that message. Who cares if they ever put my name up there, but still, the fact that a little portion of that message. In fact, you know what it was? If I'm not mistaken, it was the words, an unchanged man is an unsaved man, was posted on the internet. You know, there's a lot of people need to hear that. You may say, well, we've heard it over and over. There's a lot of people out there that need to hear that truth. You and I that have truth should be sharing truth. And I think one of the reasons why the first church in Jerusalem, of course, Jesus Christ was here up until about AD 33, and then there was about 40 years. They had an opportunity to spread the gospel. There's persecution, and I think persecution actually helped them to spread the gospel. And then there was the destruction of the temple. I think that probably helped them to spread the gospel. I think there was a problem in the first church with holding on to the truth. We need to be putting the truth out. So many people need to know the truth. So many people don't have a taste for truth. They wouldn't know truth if it hit them upside the head. And they need somebody to help them, give them the truth. You might find some people out there in churches, and you know that their church is not teaching some doctrines they need to know. Therefore, perhaps you can be a help to them. Then, last of all, I want to deal with this idea of practically employing the truth. Years ago, and I think it was about 2002, I believe is when it was, I preached a series of messages on the dearth of discernment. It was bad in America then, it's worse now. The dearth of discernment. There is so little discernment in this country. I preached on a number of things, and we might consider the discernment of spirits, the discernment of doctrines, the discernment of men and movements, the discernment of mission works and missionaries, the discernment of music, the discernment of the signs of the times, the discernment of the will of God. People lack discernment in our day. And I believe it can be traced back to the fact that the truth in so many homes, the truth has not been given to children so they can borrow it until they buy it and make it theirs. When I was coming up, so many people at least had some of the basic truths. I think probably percentage-wise, many more people were taught some basic truths in the home than are taught those same basic truths today. Learning some basic things about God can be such a help to children and lead them to the point they finally buy into that truth themselves. That's their truth. They get saved by the grace of God. They start to live for God. They start to stand for good things. But there are so many people out here reared in homes in which there was a real dearth of truth, and now there's a real dearth of discernment in America. I'm not going to get into all this, but you take in Acts chapter number 27, the Bible talks about Paul was on that ship, and there were so many things that seemed to be against his advice. It might be said they took the advice of the expert, and they took the advice of the majority, and the weather seemed to be good, a warm south wind, and the place they were staying was not commodious. And they might have thought, well, here's an open door. You know how many people that are saved? You may have heard this over and over. People say, well, I'm praying. If God doesn't want me to do this, He'll close the door. If God wants me to do it, He'll open the door. You better get more discernment than that. I know what happened with Gideon. On the other hand, the devil may open a door. If you've been saved very long, I imagine you have seen where a door was opened that you should not go through. And just because a door is open doesn't mean you ought to go through it. If you want to buy something, there's a fairly good chance you can find somebody to give you a loan. And you may say, see, open door. Get you in trouble. We better learn to have some discernment. And we can have discernment by getting a taste for the truth. And we can get that by feeding on the Word of God to find out what truth really tastes like. If you will, please stand.